This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Good afternoon. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
And welcome to Protecting What Matters, the show that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life and property. Today's show features Dave Belmont, principal of Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers in San Luis Obispo. We plan to have an in-depth conversation surrounding the hard times in the California's homeowners, auto, and now pending soon, coming to a place soon, workers' compensation markets are tightening up as well. Other topics we hope to cover here is inflation. I know that Bongino was on this morning, and I want to take a brief look back of my 60 years of dealing with inflation since I was in the middle of the 70s and its impact on seniors and what's that going to mean for all of us. And then, of course, we'll have a discussion of how you might be able to mitigate some of the bad aspects of inflation and what it's doing to you. Anyway, we'd love to field your calls. You know, the number is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. In the meantime, I know that Susan's done some research in anticipation of Halloween.
Right. Hopefully we'll have some time at the end of the show to talk about how to keep your kids and your pets safe over the Halloween holiday. But I saw a very strange article about an ophthalmologist in Newport Beach who just recently took 23 soft contact lenses out of the one eye of an elderly lady. And then the Halloween topic that ties into is that some Halloween costumes come with contact lenses that you can put over your eyes to make them look strange. But unless those are packaged in a sanitary way, like the ones you would get from your eye doctor, do not put those in your eyes because they can cause all kinds of problems, including infection.
All right. We'll have some more later. Hopefully we'll have some time. And again, we'd love to hear your comments. Call in 805-238-5775. So let me introduce Dave Belmont. He is the principal of Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers in San Luis Obispo. He has effectively provided commercial brokerage solutions in property and casualty insurance for over 34 years. He's Blazing Bear's to-go guy when it comes to for property and casualty coverages. Some of his specialties include construction, propane, agriculture, and hospitality. Dave has earned his CIC designation, which stands for Certified Insurance Counselor. And Dave, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you, Barry and Susan, for having me on the show.
Well, we're happy to have you, Dave. And of course, you're going to be a regular because I know you're going to be a star. Please give our audience a brief self-intro, your background experience, and what differentiates Adler Belmont Insurance from other insurance brokers in the area. And also, I know everybody's going to want to know the secrets of your amazing golf game.
Well, I can tell you right now, my golf game is not amazing. been working too hard. But one of the aspects of Adler Belmont, we write all kinds of different insurance, mostly commercial stuff. We do write personal lines as well. We tend to focus on the customer. We try and take care of their needs. We just try and do things a little bit differently, a little bit more hands-on. We like to spend time with clients. That's been a little difficult over the last few years, but that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah, great. How did you get into that business in the beginning, Dave?
Well, a long time ago, my dad was in the business, and he kept asking me to get into the business, and I kept telling him no, 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 and then at some point I relented. Consequently, I've never left. So it's been a good industry for me. I enjoy it, and it actually is a fascinating industry.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment, is there?
That is correct.
So there's been a lot of challenges in getting fire insurance. We have experienced that ourselves. Could you explain what are some of the root causes of this problem?
Yeah, so the problem actually started in 2019 when non-renewals of policies started in the state. the non-renewal of residential policies in the state grew by 36%, and consequently, the new policies written by the state's the California FAIR Plan surged by 225%. Essentially, the fires that happened in Northern California in 2017 and 2018 created a problem that was such a huge underwriting loss for the carriers that they're looking forward and in trying to get adequate rate structure or premiums for the exposures, they're having trouble because of the way that Proposition 103 was written back in 1988. In 2017 and 2018 alone, the insurance industry had a combined underwriting loss of over $20 billion because of the fires. To put this in perspective, the losses were double what the total combined underwriting profit was, which was $10 million, for the years 1991 to 2016. The way Prop 103 is structured is that insurance companies can only set their rates based on future wildfires, and they can look back. They can't assess rates until they have 20 years of data. So with 2 years, 17 and 18, creating such a large loss, they're having trouble getting rates passed through the commissioner, the insurance commissioner. So it makes it a little difficult. So what carriers are doing is they're essentially saying, right now we're just not writing until we figure this out. So yeah. That's the crisis in itself.
It makes sense, but it's just so awful. Because how can they look ahead if they can't, to figure out what the risk is if they can't look back and see what's already happened? It's crazy.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So what will it take to improve the situation, Dave? Is there anything that the Department of Insurance is working on?
Well, there's a number of things that they all are working on. But keep in mind, we're dealing with the government, and nothing is ever easy or quickly remedied. Florida put together some programs for their insurance where they actually have a higher deductible for hurricanes. So, like, if your regular policy, property policy, has a $1,000 deductible here in California for all perils, in Florida, you would have a $1,000 deductible for all perils except hurricane, and you might have a $25,000 deductible there. Currently, we're not doing that with admitted carriers here in the state. That might be one solution to the problem. It would put a little bit of pain into a policy when we did have a wildfire and lost a dwelling or a building, but at least we would have decent coverage. In fact, Governor Newsom recently vetoed Assembly Bill 2450, which was a measure that would have required the insurance commissioner to convene a working group by July 1 of 2023. To study the potential of allowing admitted residential and commercial property carriers to offer a wildfire-related deductible. The bill also would have mandated the commissioner to identify and forward the working group to consider solutions for industries in which affordable commercial property rates are not widely available. When he vetoed the bill, he basically said he supports the intent of that measure, but he does not believe a statutory mandate requiring the insurance commissioner to evaluate potential solutions is necessary.
Right.
So that bill stopped, obviously, because it got vetoed. But something like this, I think, needs to be done. It's one solution.
Right. So I know we're about 30 seconds away from a break, but I just want to, so we can pick this up at the on the other side. Is the California? I know you're putting a lot of people with the FAIR Plan. I mean, is this a viable alternative? And then when we come back from the break, we can talk about who backstops the FAIR Plan and if there's a catastrophic event. But go ahead, Dave. You got about 30 seconds.
The short answer is yes, the FAIR Plan can help. It's not the best alternative, but it does at least put some fire insurance on a property. And, yeah, we can definitely go into the FAIR Plan here when we come back from
break. Great. Well, this has been all great information, and We will be back in about 2 minutes, so stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden today getting the updated coronavirus booster shot as his administration urges Americans to protect themselves as we approach the holidays.
We're already seeing a rise in flu and RSV and other respiratory illnesses, especially among young children. So take precautions. Stay safe.
The White House says this latest version of the booster shot targets the current dominant strains of COVID. A magnitude 5.1 earthquake shaking several cities in central California. No immediate word on any injuries or damage. Several key debates are taking place tonight ahead of the midterm elections.
In Pennsylvania, Senate hopefuls John Fetterman and Dr. Mehmet Oz will meet in their first and only debate. And in Michigan, the polls show Republican challenger Tudor Dixon within 3 points of Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer there.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. America's listening to Fox News.
The Central Coast Veterans Memorial Museum is a perfect way to spend minutes or hours exploring 17 stations and thousands of artifacts honoring local veterans. The museum is open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 3 with free admission and free parking. Visits can be self-guided or detailed with knowledgeable tour guides, and exhibits are designed for all ages. The Central Coast Veterans Memorial Museum, the museum with the tank, 801 Grand Avenue in San Luis Obispo. For information, visit vetmuseum.org.
We're back, and I'm sorry. That was a microphone malfunction. Anyway, we're back with Dave Belmont of Adler Belmont Group, and our call-in number is 805-238-5775. And Dave, why don't we quickly kind of just answer the question of who backs up the FAIR Plan if it gets overwhelmed by too much risk?
So the FAIR Plan was put together in 1968 as part of Insurance Code, California Insurance Code, Section 191. It is a syndicated fire insurance pool that's comprised of all licensed insurers that write property and casualty business in the state of California. They are members of the FAIR Plan. The FAIR Plan issues policies on their behalf, and each member insurance company participates in the profits, losses, and expenses of the plan in direct proportion to its market share of business written in the state.
Okay.
The FAIR Plan is basically a carrier of last resort.
Right. And I mean, is there anything in the legislation that established it? That, you know, again, if they get hurt by some catastrophic event that they can't cover, I take it the taxpayer who's going to end up picking up the tab.
It's not a state agency, or there is no public or taxpayer funding to the FAIR Plan. This is all insurance company related expenses and payments. You could infer, though, if carriers are stopping writing in the state and reducing their capacity in the state, then their capacity in the FAIR Plan is being reduced as well. Because remember, everything is in proportion to how much you are writing in the state. So I'm going to use an insurance company here, say Travelers. Say say if they're the biggest in the state, then they have the biggest proportion in the FAIR plan. But as that reduces, their exposure reduces as well. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Indeed. Yeah, because you can see in these catastrophic situations, the incentive for the carriers to keep writing business is not really there, is it? But
no.
So far. And
there is concern in the industry that the FAIR plan may be overburdened as it sits now, but we won't know unless we start having wildfires again.
Yeah, which hopefully we don't. So who is leading the charge on any fixes or ideas from the insurer or agent association perspective? Is there any creative ideas coming from that quarter?
There is. The insurance companies are putting a lot of pressure on the Department of Insurance. Consumers are putting a lot of pressure on the Department of Insurance, as well as the insurance industry, the agents industry, like IA, AB Cal, the PIA. There's a lot of us that are trying to put some pressure on the Department of Insurance to at least allow some alternatives in the way that they write policies.
Right. Does it do any good? I guess it does do some good. You just said that consumers are putting pressure on the Department of Insurance. Does it do any good for those of us, with property and a real interest in this to get in touch with state legislators?
Anything will help. At this point, anything will help, yes.
Okay.
And the legislatures, they're all aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
But I think the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We should put more pressure on them.
Well, and what would be really helpful, Dave, and you might be able to get this for us, and we can make it available to listeners, is if any of the associations have some talking points that that consumers can use either by calling their legislators, state legislators, or writing letters or whatever it is. So if you can get your hands on that, we can try to get that distributed. Let's move on to auto insurance now, because I think that's another brewing problem out there. And again, if we have some time, we'll talk about workers' comp as well. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in auto insurance that people may not be aware of.
Well, so similar to what's happening in the fire aspect, Proposition 103, limits auto carriers to what they can charge as far as rates. And so when COVID hit, we were already experiencing this lot of losses happening. People driving crazy, distracted driving is a big, big issue. And then COVID hit. So everybody started working from home. The belief was that people weren't going to be driving as much. And so the insurance commissioners suggested that maybe some of these carriers rebate some of the premiums because the exposure wouldn't be there. Well, I think the truth of the matter is when everybody's working from home and they're going on vacation 3 or 4 days a week, they're on the road a lot more. There were a lot more accidents that had happened during this time frame. And then we have a supply chain issue now that is affecting almost every industry there is out there. And one of the big ones is the repair shops for auto claims. The amount of time that it takes to fix a vehicle is exponentially longer than what it used to be. And the cost for these same parts, they're skyrocketing. So currently, insurance companies have been trying over the last 2 years. There's been what amounts to be a 29-month moratorium on rate increases that has been imposed by the Department of Insurance. And so there's a battle going on between the carriers and the Department of Insurance about what these rates really need to be. So it's interesting. There are 38 carriers right now that have put in for rate increases, and none of them have been approved. And they're essentially saying that if the department doesn't do something, then they're going to stop writing in the state.
Great. So it sounds like to me that the biggest problem is Prop 103. Is the industry doing anything to maybe propose some changes, have another ballot initiative to amend Prop 103?
There's been a lot of talk about that over the years, but the way Prop 103 was written, it's going to be very difficult to change because it's going to take two-thirds of each side of the legislature to overturn that. Hmm. So it's, yeah, there's talk about it, but it's going to be very difficult to take on.
Wow. I can't help but saying that I keep thinking about Ayn Rand. And what's the name of that book?
Atlas Shrugged. Yeah.
It's like when the government intervenes too much, then it puts all of us in a place where we can't manage things the way they need to be managed. It's like it takes all flexibility out of the system.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
I guess it's also a result of one-party rule in the People's Republic of California, right?
Yeah.
All yeah. right. Well, so, I mean, just real one last thing, and then we'll move on to workers' comp here. What, I mean, is there anything people can do again right now on the auto insurance front to try to forestall, again, a loss of carriers in the marketplace?
Again, let's reach out to the legislature. Let them know. I mean, this right now, the impact to us isn't that bad, but it's starting. It's starting. Okay. 6 months from now, we will probably have a lot less carriers in the state. So I would say let's reach out to the Department of Insurance, your legislatures, wherever possible, and let them know that we'd like to correct some of this. And I'll put together some talking points to get to you from the Agents Association. And we can put them in those letters.
That'd be great. Thanks, Dave.
That's excellent. Okay.
You got the next one.
Let's move on to workers' comp. I guess Barry spoke to you, Dave, and this wasn't even on our radar screen until recently. What's going on with that?
Well, workers' comp's been the simplest line of business that we've been able to sell for a long time. We tend to make customers happy with this because for the last 5 years, premiums have been reducing because the rates have continued to go down. But I believe we're at the bottom of that marketplace. And carriers have filed for rate increases here, and they are being approved. The WCIRB, the Workers' Compensation Insurance Rating Bureau, has provided the insurance commissioner with all kinds of data on losses and things like that. And he's not real happy about approving rate increases, but on this side, he's at least understanding it. So for employers, workers' comp is going to change over the next year or two. So there's going to be a little bit of pain there.
Hmm. Have these workers' comp insurance premium reductions had something to do with COVID, where more people were staying home and they weren't going to the workplace?
Interestingly enough, COVID hasn't affected workers' comp as badly as everybody thought. They've made it mandatory that a COVID exposure is deemed to have happened at work, but for most people, the illness does not require medical attention. So those claims haven't hit the industry as bad as once thought. But what is happening is with more people being at work, there's more accidents.
Right.
So when we've been in a boom economy here over the last couple of years, there is an increase in industrial accidents.
Hmm. Okay.
And the cost of claims going up as well.
So now we also still have this California State Workers' Compensation Fund is a player in this market. Are they still as big as they are? I mean, are they competing in the marketplace? Are they the insurer of last resort again, like the FAIR Plan? How does that all work, Dave?
They are, well, at one time they were the carrier of last resort. That's changed over the years. They are very competitive in the marketplace, and yes, they are one of the largest in the marketplace. They can do a great job, price-wise, And they're very viable. Financially, they're very strong. So they are a power in the marketplace. They're the ones who, well, they're one of the ones, they were just granted a 5% increase in their rates starting in February of 23.
Okay. All right. Great. So, Dave, is there anything else out there? We got about a minute and a half left. Is there anything else out there on the horizon that our listeners should be aware of when it comes to your world of insurance?
Not necessarily. I mean, if somebody's getting non-renewed, I would suggest, you know, for fire insurance, call around, look around, talk to people, talk to your neighbors, find out where they're covered. It's taking a village right now to find policies, and I know we're working with other agencies and referring business back and forth, and this is what it's going to take to get through this, so just keep continuing to communicate. If you get a non-renewal, start calling around. And people are always free to call me if they'd like.
Dave, how's the best way to get how's the best way to get a hold of you?
Phone 805-540-3900 or email me at dave@adlerbelmontgroup.com.
Great. Dave, thanks so much. We'll have you on again in the future, the months to come. And the commercial break is upon us. When we return, Susan and I are going to switch gears with a discussion centered on adjustments to Social Security benefits and the topic of inflation in general, how it's impacting our lives and what we may be able to do to deal with it. So
thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. We'll be back in a couple
this
of minutes.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing higher for a third straight session, continuing a market rally that has propelled the Dow to a six-week high as investors focus on encouraging signs from corporate earnings results. Nearly all of the S&P 500 11 sectors ending in the green today except energy. Growth in tech stocks were among the gainers as bond yields retreated. And shares of Dow component Coca-Cola rose 2% after the beverage giant beat third quarter profit and revenue estimates as price increases helped offset ongoing cost inflation. Coke also raised its outlook for sales and profit for the year, despite economic uncertainty. The Dow winners, Home Depot, American Express, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, United Health Group, Amgen, and Travelers. The Dow rising 337 points, the Nasdaq up 247, S&P 500 up 62. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Booth for Bishop Gold Group. Are you worried about your financial future as retirement gets closer? All over the country, soon-to-be retirees are fearing for their financial future as markets remain volatile. Bishop Gold Group helps you invest in gold and gold IRAs to protect your wealth and retirement during times of high inflation and wild swings in the market. Secure your future today. Contact Bishop Gold Group by dialing #250 from a mobile phone and say the keyword Bishop Gold or visit bishopgoldgroup.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to solar energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. AJ from Atascadero says, quote, "A lot of people leave long reviews that ramble on, and before you know it, you've stopped paying attention. Here's the deal. Solarponics is the best in the industry. If you want the best solar system you can get, then choose these guys. Thank you, AJ, for that Yelp review. When we install a solar energy system, we're installing 46 years of what AJ said. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention homeowners, do you have a solar energy system and still have a high true-up bill? It may be time for an add-on system, especially if you recently added or will be adding an EV. Get your system back in line with your energy use. Eliminate your true-up bill. Plus, the tax credit is back to 30% for new and add-on systems. Call today for a free PV add-on quote. Don't just go solar. Go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Hi, we're back with Protecting What Matters. In this segment, Barry and I would like to discuss issues surrounding our inflationary environment and ways to protect what matters most to you. Call in with your comments or questions to 805-238-5775. Or if you have questions for us, you can email us at info@blazonbear.com. So, Bear, what's turned your attention back to the issue of inflation?
Well, it's not hard not to be paying attention to it when we go to the gas pump or go to the market. And in this family, I do most of the marketing, you guys. So, you know.
You're not supposed to say that.
Okay, fine. Anyway, so what brought me back to this, Susan, was the fact that last week the Social Security Administration announced an 8.7% increase in Social Security benefits for 2023. And this is the largest increase since 1981, when it was 11.2%. And much of this is being driven by, and I'm going to use the word hyperinflation, that we're experiencing. And we'll get into that in a minute. But the point is, one of the things that I'd like all Social Security recipients of any type to always keep an eye on is the annual report that the Social Security Administration issues around June or July of each year on the outlook of the combined trust funds, how long they're going to last. And because clearly, well, before this increase, the trust fund is projected to become depleted in 2034, okay? And so in 2035, unless Congress does not act with more money from the general fund, okay, 1 year later, our benefits will be cut by 80%. Now, we don't know what the impact of this hyperinflation is going to be, because if they have to raise our benefits by 8.7% this year, and who knows next year, because this is a backward-looking adjustment, we don't know what that's going to do to the health of the Social Security Trust Fund. So part of this just ticked me off and kind of sent me back into the Wayback Machine, okay, because I'm old enough. I know you're not old enough, Susan, right, but I'm old enough to remember the 1970s and even 1968, when a lot of this all started coming together. And it had brought me back to the famous line, it was written by George Santayana in 1905. Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it. Churchill also made it famous as well. But the point is that we've kind of gone off the rails since the establishment of what Ronald Reagan did. And so the brief history of this is simple. I mean, before Ronald Reagan, the last really fiscally conservative president we had was JFK. But with his demise, unfortunately, we got taken over by a bunch of old New Dealers, wannabe New Dealers like Lyndon Johnson. But then also, it's a bipartisan problem that we're facing here, because ultimately, you've had Lyndon Johnson, who was Mr. Guns and Butter during Vietnam, and all the welfare and Medicare and Social Security programs that were established in the mid-1960s. Then Richard Nixon came on and took us off of the gold standard, okay, because of the problems that we were having with inflation. We then had price controls instituted by Republican presidents, okay, Nixon and Ford. Remember those goofy little buttons that Gerald Ford had? It was the win buttons. Whip inflation now. That was the big deal in the mid-1970s. And then, of course, we had Jimmy Carter. It wasn't until we got back to Ronald Reagan and some fiscal conservative thoughts, and with being driven by guys like Milton Friedman. I know Bongino spent a lot of time on that this morning. Paul Volcker and Art Laffer. We had some monetary policy that at least at some level kept inflation under control. And this is one of the things that I learned when I did some research this weekend, is there's really two schools of thought now, unfortunately, to how do you control inflation? What Ronald Reagan and Milton Friedman brought in was the use of monetary policy, which is using interest rates and money supply to control inflation, along with low taxes and regulation, which creates stability in the economy. You know, and it wasn't a perfect solution. We've had our financial hiccups over the years, going into, you know, the the savings and loan meltdown, the dot-com bubble, 2008, and all that type of thing. But the bottom line is, from about the mid-1980s until about last year, we've had pretty stable inflation numbers, very low historically inflation numbers, for a good long time. But now we've taken this lurch towards modern monetary theory, MMT. And this is as opposed to being monetary policy, it's really fiscal policy. It's the thought that you can indiscriminately print money to chase very few goods and then suck it back up through high taxes to try to keep inflation down. Now, the prominent advocates of this are people like Bernie Sanders and AOC. And just all you need to do is focus on what's happened in the last 18 months. We have the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act, which were about $5 trillion of spending. Where these names, of course, are right out of, George L. Orwell's Animal Farm. They're oxymorons in the truest sense of the word. Well, again, doing a little research this weekend, I found a paper by the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And basically, modern monetary theory justifies massive government spending. And that's all it is. And so at the end of the day, 8.75% Social Security, it's great. It's helpful. I mean, we're on Social Security. But our bottom line is it's not going to be very helpful if inflation is actually higher than what they're telling us.
Yeah. What's always been interesting to me, isn't it true that they don't include food and energy in the inflation numbers?
Well, funny you should ask that, Susan, because
who uses food or energy, right? None of us use that, so right. Why should we look at it?
So doing our show prep this weekend, I found another article from Investors Business Daily from October 17th, And, of course, they have their own surveys. They do their own what they call the TIP Insights, T-I-P-P. And basically, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't include food or energy, it's an artificially low number. And, in fact, what Investors Business Daily and the TIP survey indicates is that our inflation rate is actually closer to 13% when you include food and energy. So, again, clearly part of the survey was talking about, what are people doing? How are people feeling? They surveyed 1,376 adults. 90% of survey respondents are concerned about inflation, and 50% are very concerned. 54% have said their wages have not kept up with the pace of inflation. So Americans are cutting back. People, 77% of the survey respondents said that they reduced household spending. Eating and entertainment is taking a hit. I know Susan and I don't go out very often for dinner anymore because of the prices.
Well, lunch, going out to lunch now costs what dinner used to cost,
yep.
Even here, right? We're not even in the big city, but it's amazing how expensive it is just to go to lunch now.
And even breakfast costs what lunch used to cost.
Right.
So anyway, holiday, vacation, all of these things are all of these areas of the economy are suffering. So the bottom line is, we're back to the future here. We're back to the stagflation that we experienced back in the 70s during the Nixon, Ford, and Carter days. And it's really disturbing to me at my age that we can't remember what works anymore. We have to go off and try these fanciful ideas that have proven time after time over the eons, over the thousands of years of civilizations, that when countries fight endless wars and keep printing money that has no value, that eventually you're going to get into a lot of trouble.
Right. So what can we do about it?
Well, I wanted to bring a couple of things to your attention. I found an article on Bankrate online from earlier this year. Some investment tips from Warren Buffett. Whether you like him or not, the guy seems to know what he's doing. One of the things he says when you're investing is that you should invest in good businesses with low capital needs. And so you want to be really careful that during inflationary times, businesses with low capital needs are able to maintain their earnings, and they should fare better than the ones required to invest. Buffett also says, look for companies that can raise prices during periods of higher inflation. So pricing power is going to be very, very important. So listen, we're going to take another break, and then we're going to finish this up, and then Susan's going to get back to her list of Halloween haunting ideas. Bye.
I don't know what to do.
About what?
My wife wants to remodel the kitchen, but we don't have that kind of money.
Want to see what we did? Take a peek at this.
Wow, that looks great. Who did your remodel?
It's not a remodel. I had Espeek Painting paint our cabinets. Now they're like new, and they're my wife's favorite color.
Espeek Painting, huh?
Yeah, they're local, right here in Atascadero. They're easy to deal with, from the estimate all the way to the final brush stroke. And getting a quote was easy. I did it online. It's way cheaper than a remodel.
Then I better take a peek at this Espeek Painting.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife? Happy life.
You got that right.
Take a peek at Espeek Painting and get a beautiful new look for your cabinets without an expensive remodel. Espeek specializes in cabinet painting as well as residential exteriors, interiors, and HOAs. Take a peek at Espeek Painting. Book a quote appointment quickly and easily 24/7 at espeekpainting.com. That's S-P-E-E-K painting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane sales and service since 1936. Each year, the pre-buy program allows Delta Liquid Energy customers the ability to pre-purchase their expected winter requirements at traditionally discounted pricing. Call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go to deltaliquidenergy.com.
If you haven't eaten at Vic's Cafe for a while, it's time to go. Locally sourced comfort food from scratch every day. Have one of the old favorites like the homemade biscuits and gravy, the Cowboy Benedict, or the famous meatloaf. Did you know Vic's Cafe is one of the only places around with liver and onions? And so many new healthy choices. Vic's Cafe is open daily, 7:30 to 2 p.m. on 13th Street in Paso Robles.
We're back with Protecting What Matters. If you have any questions, call us at 805-238-5775. So just really wrapping this up, Susan wanted me to talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the other things that you can do other than being careful with your investments. Well, I found an article, again, on Forbes from earlier this year from an interesting cat. His name is Jameson Lopp or something like that, L-O-P-P. He's actually a crypto guy, but he had some great suggestions here. Number one is seek stores of value. So purchase non-perishable items to the extent that you can. And
right. So, like things that are going to last, especially with food prices going up, buy non-perishable food for yourself and your animals, tools, household goods, first aid items, things like that that are going to be around for the long term and that you'll never get a better price than now.
Right. And I think one of the tips that we were talking about is that, you know, For the foreseeable future, things like meat and protein are not going to be going down in price. So if you could at all swing it, you know, one of the things that you could do is go to your favorite appliance store and look in their back room to see if you can pick up a freezer, let's say, that's got a little ding on it, but you can get big savings on that. And when you go to Costco or you go to Spencer's or wherever you buy your meat and stuff, you can really stock up on those types of things. So because those, and I also saw, interestingly, an article today about we're going to have some more supply chain issues because of the drought in the Midwest and that the Mississippi, they won't be able to get as much stuff up and down the Mississippi River. So this is going to be continued problems for the foreseeable future. So you need to protect yourself.
And it might be things like batteries, things like that, that you use over and over again. It's really make sure you have a good stockpile of those.
And I'm just going to finish on this one note here. This in this article, this guy says, and he's a crypto guy, but he says, don't trust government readings, okay? That 8.2% inflation rate is not real, okay? Governments create hyperinflation by printing money. They do so because it's politically more expedient than raising taxes. Ronald Reagan pointed this out, that inflation is a hidden tax. And I just want to mention one other point of denial. Our Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said Sunday that Democrats need to stop talking about inflation. It's not really an issue. It's not about inflation. It's about the cost of living. Well, gee, Nancy, what does that mean? And then here is the other thing that they're trying to tell us, that our inflation rate is lower than everybody else. Well, that's not really true either. Our inflation rate's about 8.5%. Even if other countries are doing exactly the same kind of calculation that we're doing, yes, it's true. The United Kingdom, their inflation rate is at 10%. Canada's lower than us at 7.6. China's lower than us at 2.7. Japan at 2.4. Australia at 6.1. So really, we're not getting the right information here that we need. So. Just keep. You need to be, I guess I would call it situational awareness when it comes to this sort of thing. Anyway, so to wrap this up here, Susan has got some more Halloween tips.
Right.
For keeping your kids and your pets safe. And then we will tell you what's coming up next week.
Okay. One thing I discovered just this morning as I was looking about for tips for Halloween, I found this to be quite a disturbing statistic that said that more children are hit by cars on Halloween than on any other day of the year. Wow. I did not know that. And so if you are driving, be extra cautious, because kids get excited and they jump off the curb and run into the street and things like that.
Do you think it's because they're wearing darker clothing that or something
can be,
like that?
That can be part of it too. But yeah, I didn't know that. So it's just being super cautious if you're out driving. If you're giving trick-or-treats at your house, these are things you've probably heard before, but it never hurts to be reminded. Make sure your walkway is brightly lit. Remove any potential tripping hazards like lawn furniture, hoses, etc., away from the walkway and front door. And I'm a real animal person, and so it might be good on that night. Keep your pets safely in a back room somewhere where they're safe and where they can't frighten kids or be frightened or run out the door if they get nervous. And then Halloween costumes, if you can keep them lightweight, light-colored, and bright, and put reflective tape on them where you can. And the use of face paint is really good. I remember one Halloween I was out trick-or-treating, and my mask kept slipping down, and I could not see, and I was tripping over the hem of my costume. It was a nightmare. And so just make sure the kids can move freely and can see clearly as they're out there. Another one I thought was interesting is props that are short and flexible, like rubber swords, if they have a costume with a sword instead of a hard stick or a sword, because kids can hurt themselves if they fall, or they can hurt other kids by swinging those things around, things that I never think about. And then as far as the pets, everybody knows that dogs shouldn't eat chocolate, but when all this candy is sitting around the house, we need to take special care that our dogs or cats can't get into the candy, because some of it's really, really bad for them. Especially chocolate and artificial sweeteners and colors, keeping any candles or lit jack-o'-lanterns out of their reach so they can't get knocked over, and also paying attention to things like decorations that we might bring into the house that are not normally there. The cats or dogs might think they're toys, but they might not be safe for them to chew on.
Well, those are all really good tips, and I'm, you know, I think it's really important for parents to go with their kids and
absolutely
and make sure that they're all safe and everything like that. Was there anything in there about, I mean, I remember one time there were issues with people putting nasty stuff in the candy and all that kind of
that
stuff.
That wasn't in there. I think a lot of people now do other things, like go to parties instead of trick-or-treating per se. I haven't seen that in the research I did today anyway.
Great. Okay. Well, listen, so we've got a great show coming up for you next week. It's going to be we're shifting gears completely. I'm going to try not to talk about economic stuff in the coming weeks, because we have a bunch of other stuff we want to get done. But next week we're going to have Chris DeColibus. He's the owner of We Do Windows, and he's going to be coming in to speak to us about winterizing your home and how that can be a big money saver. And Chris is a really successful guy, and he knows his content. So again, winterizing your home, and then this will be the most fun segment of all. It's going to be called Brace for Impact, protecting yourself from the hazards holiday family gatherings present to you. You want to go into a little more depth on that, Susan?
As I've mentioned in the past, I have a master's in marriage and family therapy, and we always used to have special interest around the holidays with family gatherings, and especially in the last couple of years with COVID and all the division there is sometimes between families. I'll have some tips on how we can make the holidays a little happier and less stressful.
Great, and you can reach us at info@blazeandbear.com if you have any questions or topics you want us to discuss. Our number is 805-635-7200. And again, we have a big month coming up in November. So we look forward to getting lots more calls and hearing from you. Thanks so much.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry@blazeandbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's